This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the regular meeting for Thursday, November 2nd, 2023. It is 8:45 p.m. on the East Coast, 5:45 p.m. on the West Coast. I do believe we have quorum. Madam Secretary, would you like to call the roll?
I'll let you go. When you find it, send it. Thanks, Hunter.
Go ahead. I muted Fred. You're muted, Nancy.
Teresa Allen?
Present.
Adriana Castaneda?
Present.
James Newman? Vanessa Dixon-Briggs?
Here.
Dixon-Briggs present. Fred Dodsworth? William Foster?
Here.
Foster present. Goodwin, Sue Goodwin? Heather Gray?
Here.
Gray present. Donna Grimes?
Here.
Grimes present. Julie Hewitt?
I'm here.
Hewitt present. Avelia Jones?
Present.
Jones present. Ali Lexa?
He's on the way.
I'm here.
Lexa present. Marianne Martinez?
Present.
Martinez present. James McFadden? Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Pagano present. Sean Rhodes?
I am here.
Rhodes present. James Sagerton?
Here.
Sagerton present. Sharon Salam?
Here.
Salam present. E. Tanaka?
Here.
Tanaka. Elizabeth Von.
I don't know if you heard me before, Ms. McFadden. I'm here.
All right. McFadden present. Thank you. Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Present.
Von Gunten present. Egberto Willis? Let me go back. James Dingman? Fred Dodsworth?
Fred, you're muted.
I thought I said I was here earlier, I'm sure. I did, but I guess I was muted.
Muted then, because I did not hear you. Okay, so Dodsworth present. Sue Goodwin? Okay. And again, Egberto Willis. Okay. And 18 present, 3 absent. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Wells present. Nancy Sorden here. Sorden present. Arthur Schwartz. Okay. Anybody else that I missed? That any visitors?
Can I ask a question, Nancy? I didn't hear you call Bill Foster.
Oh, yes,
what's
I did.
What's his status?
I did call. He was present.
Oh, I didn't see him. There he is, BF. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. Next item in the preliminaries is the report out from the executive session of October 19th, and it is the PNB met in closed session to hear a report from the ED about confidential financial matters and to get an update from the personnel committee. That brings us to excused absences. Nancy, can you just remind us who is not present at the moment?
Dingman, Goodwin, and Willis.
I would entertain a motion.
Point of Anyone? Information, Madam Chair, Adriana?
Yes, go ahead, Adriana.
Did any of these three members ask for an excused absence?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But it's been a hectic couple of days for me, and so I won't swear that I didn't, that I've read all emails. Was that you, Sagerton, who also was seeking to be recognized? No, I thought somebody else was. Okay.
I was trying to get Jing Ding in on the call and I accidentally unmuted.
No worries. Well, I move that we excuse the absences of those not present this evening.
Seconded.
Thank you, Fred. Any discussion?
I object, Adriana.
Okay. Is there any discussion though before I get to the?
Just a question.
Every week, why not? Yeah, I'll be recognized.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, we do this every week. I don't know why we have to go through this process. If we want to change the rules and actually kick people off after three times, I think it's that should be so moved and discussed and voted on. Otherwise, this is just kind of a waste of time.
Madam Chair, Adriana.
Adriana, go ahead.
Yes, I don't have any problem if we want to change the rules, but the rules, we talk about that the whole year, that you will tell people, and it's part of the rules that we have in the PME that people should ask in writing for an excuse absence. It's a matter of respect for the others. That's why, in principle, first of all, Jim is already here. We don't need to excuse him. He's already here. But that's why, I want to oppose, because we talked from the beginning of the year that we will ask people to respect the body and send in advance if we understand. But please take the time to send a note.
Absolutely. Jim Dingaman, would you like to acknowledge your presence here for Nancy's benefit?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks. Great. Okay. So that means, the motion that we have is, would pertain to Sue Goodwin and Egberto Willis. Are there any objections to the motion to excuse the absences of those two directors?
Adriana.
Got it. Adriana, are there other objections? Nancy, would you note that the motion go ahead, Dingaman.
Egberto just joined.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So we're down to Sue Goodwin. Egberto, would you like to acknowledge your presence for Nancy's benefit?
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we're down to Sue Goodwin's absence. I asked for whether there were any objections. Adriana raised her objection. And then I asked if there were any further objections and no one spoke up. So Nancy, would you note that, the motion passed with one objection?
So done.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. That brings us to identifying timekeepers. Can I get a volunteer to keep time for people?
I can do that.
Thank you, McFadden. And a volunteer to keep time for items?
Adriana can.
Thank you, Adriana. Okay, so that takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is agenda approval for the open portion. It's a 5-minute item, Adriana. So first up is approving minutes. Then come committee reports, and there's a longish list of committee reports. That will take not quite an hour all told, but I'll try to give you the timing for committee by committee. Then comes an affiliates report. Then comes the ED report and Q&A for 20 minutes, the general counsel report and Q&A for 10 minutes, although I'm not 100% convinced whether Arthur has anything to share with us and he's not here yet. Then we have unfinished business, new business, and we have a couple of motions under new business. And then we have a motion to move into executive session at a time certain of 11 p.m. I'll move the agenda. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Teresa. Any discussion of the agenda for open session?
Sean has an amendment.
Sean, please.
Okay. Under committee reports, I would like to add letter K, a report from the investigative committee report for 5 minutes. We spoke at the last meeting that they would do some more research and then come back at today's meeting to give us a report.
Okay. Is there a second to Sean's motion?
Second.
Thank you.
Is this actually from anyone that was on the investigative committee?
It was actually a chair. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
It was in the coordinating committee. We had it on the agenda.
You are correct. You are correct. So for 5 minutes. Okay, we'll add it.
I don't think the agenda needs to be amended because that was.
Okay.
Apologize if I didn't.
No worries. Any further discussion? Okay. Are there any objections to Sean's amendment to amend the agenda? Hearing none, we'll consider it amended to return that. Any other discussion of the agenda? Hearing no further discussion of the agenda, are there any objections to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none, we'll consider the agenda approved. That takes us to approving minutes of the open session for October 19th. Nancy, is there anything to tell people about that minutes from that meeting?
I have the draft done and I was putting the final touches on it and I haven't sent it out yet. So
people haven't seen it yet. So that's okay. All right. That's all right. We'll just.
Apologies.
No worries. This is a busy time of year for many people. So that means we're on to the next item, which is a set of committee reports. Is there someone who's on the audit committee who's willing to make a report for the audit committee? Which might be it's a 3 minute item. I'm sorry, a 5 minute item. Has the audit committee met? Can someone on the audit committee just confirm that it has not met? All right. We'll go on to the coordinating committee. This is a 3 minute item. Nancy, do you want to give a report?
Okay. The coordinating committee met, this past Thursday and, talked about what should be on the agenda and gave a preliminary draft, prepared. I sent that draft that we worked on to Julie. We had 5 people at the meeting.
Thanks. Any questions for Nancy and the coordinating committee? All right. Finance committee. Sagerton. This is a 10-minute item.
Thank you, Chair. Just bear with me a moment while I call it up. Okay. The Finance Committee has a motion this evening. I'll read it. The NFC informs the PNB that it has reviewed the KPFK fiscal year 24 budget along with addendum to the fiscal year 24 budget submitted by Interim General Manager Michael Novick. The budget is a reasonable estimate of revenue based on historical numbers and expenses. It is a deficit budget, and we forward it to the PNB for their review. That was passed without objection.
And can someone confirm that the email that I sent to everybody that has the KPFK budget in it, that can at least one person confirm that they got that email?
I got it.
Thank you. Okay. Questions for Jim Sagerton about this motion? Or the Finance Committee?
Yes, I do have a question.
Go ahead, Darlene.
I don't usually listen in to the Finance Committee, but I had the time to do it this week. And there was this great big hole, as far as I could tell, which is Michael Novick presented the budget, and Michael Novick said that there was nothing that could be cut. Who works with Michael Novick on the budget? Doesn't he ask the executive director to look at the budget before he sends it, or any station sends it to the National Finance Committee? Do we just have this budget that goes along through non-finance committee, non-financial background people all the way up to the PNB? Is that the process? Because I was really surprised.
I'm not sure what the question is in there. You want me to describe the process that how budgets get to the PNB?
I'm asking where Michael Novick is given assistance in the preparation of the budget that he's going to send to the National Finance Committee. And I'm sorry, I'm saying Michael Novick only. I mean this for all general managers. When there has not been any assistance of a financial experienced help looking at the budget and looking at the station, where is the executive director taken into confidence in all of this?
Okay, I'll answer that as best I can, unless Stephanie wants to speak. All budgets originate with management at the stations. This time around, Stephanie has actually assisted in the creation of the budgets for the stations. She's gathered together what they have and shared it. The management brings the budget to their local finance committee if they have one. Most stations do. And in stations where there is a business manager, the business manager would be involved with the general manager in creating the budget. Where there's a CFO, the CFO would also be engaged. We don't have a CFO at this time. So the treasurer is, in some stations, is the chair of the finance committee. In some stations, the treasurer is a separate person from the chair of the finance committee. But the chair of the finance committees themselves, the treasurers work on a budget, creating a budget with the general manager. And when the finance committee is ready, they pass it on to the LSB of the respective station. When it's not a station, but rather a unit, as in the affiliates, they would create the budget and pass it on to the NFC directly. The when the LSB, if the LSB approves the budget to be sent on, then it comes to the NFC. The NFC reviews it, and then the NFC passes it on to the PMB. The thing that you might be noticing in this budget is that it comes without a recommendation for action. It came to the PNB without a recommendation from the KPFK LSB. This is, I guess, a way of people thinking that if they don't want to approve a deficit budget, they simply pass it on to the next level. And that's what, indeed, the local station board did. I assume that's what their finance committee did, their local station board then did. They passed it to the NFC. The NFC reviewed it and now is passing it to PMB without a recommendation because it's a deficit budget, if that was the thrust of your question. And Stephanie, of course, can answer for herself. I know that the treasurer assisted in creating this budget to a large extent, Kim Kaufman. I know also that Stephanie was involved and the three were working together on it.
All right. Well, Madam Chair, thank you.
Madam Chair,
thank you.
Point of information.
Hang on, Darlene. What's up, Adriana? Is it time?
Yes. Well, we have 5 minutes. We need to add minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. You don't have to say point of information. Just tell me that it's time. That's good enough. Thank you, though. So Fred has his hand up. So if we want to keep talking about the NFC report and or decide to do something in terms of a motion,
I second.
We exhaust the stack.
I second Fred.
Okay. Thank you. Any objections to the motion to exhaust the stack of Fred and Darlene? Hearing no objections, that's what we'll do. Go ahead, Fred.
I'm looking here at our confidential financials, and I will not say, because this is the open session, the enormous sum that we currently owe. And I'm trying to figure out how it is that an organization this deeply in debt can pass these deficit budgets. And I would like Stephanie to answer that question.
Yeah, it is an issue to continue to have these deficit budgets. And I was involved with working on the budget as well as Markeisha and our business manager, even though we don't have technically a CFO. Markeisha does fill in that role as a business manager. And we were working on the budgets very closely with the treasurer of the LSB for KPFK and also Michael. We have made some cuts in that budget just recently or in some of the expenses there recently. We do have, certain payments that need to be made. If there's personnel changes or layoffs, that those payments, severance need to continue in some cases 3 months, some cases up to a year based upon their seniority. So we don't see a decrease in those expenses immediately. It is very difficult to continue to work with budgets that are deficits. What we need to do, and since we have a budget that has been, a draft budget that has been submitted for this upcoming fiscal year for the entire organization, what I hope that the local finance committees do and the national finance committee is that we review the budgets for each of the stations to be more proactive when we make our projections out for revenue and expenses and make those changes as we, you know, rather than kind of looking at it after the fact. So, you know, and with some of the stations, it's increasing listenership, changing programming that can bring in more listeners. And therefore, with more listeners, we can bring in better revenue. And also with our underwriting, if people are actively looking for some underwriting opportunities, not only just locally, but nationally, we can increase that revenue. A lot of it is personnel expenses, unfortunately, but we need personnel or we need volunteers that can step up consistently to, you know, help with some of these positions.
Thanks. Darlene, you're next.
Yeah, I just wanted to wrap up my question originally. As I said, Jim, I hadn't listened to an NFC before. And in that one, there was really no mention of all the financial folks that you filled me in on when you talk about the process. So to me, it was like, wait a minute, where's the, you know, who's helping out here? So thank you for spelling out that complicated procedure. And I'll know better if I ever get a chance to listen to another NFC meeting. I'm done.
Chair, may I add an additional comment?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, Secretary.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the NFC, as I just described, receives the budgets from the stations after the stations have received it from their management and their finance committees. And the NFC only gets the budgets when we get them. We don't reach out and reach down into the stations to do that. The process works from the ground up rather than from the top down, reaching in to pull out a budget. Although Stephanie has been working in that regard to help some of the stations, because most of our stations don't have business managers anymore. And, you know, most of our stations need some help in terms of financial expertise to do that. So Stephanie is helping with that. Once we have these budgets, then the question is, well, okay, what do we do with them? Is it an ironclad thing, a contract, so to speak? It's not. It's a prediction of what we're going to do and what's going to happen. And as Stephanie points out, what we want to do is have something on paper that we can then monitor going forward. And when a budget has a deficit, we have to watch very carefully. There was an addendum attached to this budget that had items in it that would are hoped to produce further revenue as the year goes on. But we can't budget for that because some of them are not proven. You know, they're hopeful predictions, but we can't put that in a budget because it's not verified. It's not, you know, it's not solid enough to be actually budgeted. So the idea is that once we get these budgets and we've got something on paper and we have an idea of where we are, then as time goes forward, the finance committee can actually be participating with the stations on a quarterly basis or some other basis to be monitoring and finding out how things are going along. You know, unfortunately, in the past many years, we either don't get budgets at all or we get them towards the end of the fiscal year. We had a better year a couple of years ago where we got most of the budgets. We passed most of them within the fiscal year. This year, we slid back a little bit because of the continuing decline in revenue. And that's really what it's all about. It's the continuing decline in revenue that we have to deal with and figure out how to get out of and figure out how to move along and stay alive, stay afloat while we deal with this issue. And, you know, we all know we're selling a building. We've sold more than one building. You know, it's a difficult situation.
I'm going to exercise the chair's prerogative here and just clarifying question to Sagerton. So the NFC is not asking the PMB to pass this budget, but does the NFC still intend to use this budget as, you know, kind of the guidepost against which to judge how KPFK is doing as we proceed through the fiscal year?
Yes, exactly. And it's not
being asked, right.
Yeah. It's not that the NFC is not asking the PMB to pass this budget. I don't think it, in the long run, it doesn't even really necessarily matter whether we pass it or not. It's a tool that we're going to use to try and monitor the situation as we go forward. And what was passed along all the way through this process was it's a deficit budget. So we're not saying we approve of a deficit budget, but we're getting something on paper that we can use as a measuring stick.
Thank you. Adriana, I see your hand. Is it just to save time?
No, it's to ask a question because to Sagerton.
So,
point of information.
You can, but only after you asked to extend because you weren't on the stack that we had extended for. So sorry.
Just a point of information, Madam Chair.
Okay, point of information. Go ahead.
Do we have all the stations' budget already and the NFC? Because I don't remember seeing some of the stations. I don't remember seeing them.
No, we don't.
Who are the ones we don't? Fab.
I don't think we have KPFA yet. I'm just going to go around the horn here, so to speak. We don't have KPFA. We have KPFK. That's what we're looking at. KPFT, I don't remember if we did that earlier in the year.
Yes,
maybe
we
somebody
did.
Can help me on that. Okay, yes.
Yes, we did.
Okay, good. Then WPFW, we don't have a budget for them yet. They did submit something, but that was last year. They submitted something, and it had a deficit that was going to be solved, hopefully, by a move, but that didn't develop. And then WBI, I know we're working on the WBI budget in the local finance committee right now. So
I hope that the association for that, right?
Yeah, okay, now you're not asking a question. Sorry, we're moving on to governance committee, which
put
down
as
a 10-minute item, but I don't have any motions or anything. So is there a report from the governance committee, Beth?
Yes. The governance committee met as usual. We made quorum. We had a report from the bylaws subcommittee, the bylaws review subcommittee, which had met this month, and went on to have a detailed discussion of the process of legislative update and why it's necessary and a best practice for any nonprofit to review their own bylaws for compliance, ideally every 3 years in sync with the legislature, and how we are beginning that process here at Pacifica this year. But given that we're about 7 cycles behind, and Pacifica bylaws being as long and complex as they are, we'll start where we stand and do what we can and get as far as we do, but it's likely to require the further attention of next year's governance committee, and it honestly should be an ongoing process from here on out. It was a great discussion. We will meet again this coming month on the fourth Wednesday of the month, which is November 22nd, as per usual. Thank you.
Questions for Beth? Is there an expected date by which we'll have updates to the bylaws based on the changes to the California Corporate Code?
It's probably premature to set a date on that. I expect them to come incrementally. There is another meeting of the bylaws subcommittee scheduled for this month, and we'll report on it regularly as part of the report from this committee for the rest of this year. And you can arrange with where the P&B can arrange with the committee for next year to continue that process. It's a much bigger process than can be taken on by any one committee in any one year. And that's why, well, we're trying to process a backlog of more than 20 years, starting from zero. And it's a committee that the subcommittee itself has been useful in each. We've had all 5 members there this last time. Every one of them had good questions, took on work to cover between now and the next meeting. We'll meet again this coming month and report back again and report our progress as we achieve it. But again, this should become an ongoing process, a standing process of every governance committee from here on out as a nonprofit best practice. Thank you.
Any other questions for Beth? All right. That takes us next to the elections committee. This is a 5-minute report. Go ahead, Aki.
Yes, what we did
with the elections committee was to go over all of the recommendations for the next election. We had a very productive meeting. I think many, many people spoke and brought many good points. So we'll summarize that and then, release the report to the PNB.
Any questions for Aki?
This is James. I have a question for Aki.
Sure, James.
Go ahead, Sagerton.
Thank you. I attended the last meeting of the Elections Committee, and I was surprised that after the PNB had voted to restore a member to the Elections Committee, the committee voted to retain a member that had been appointed to the committee to replace the person that was restored and have them continue on the committee as a voting member. And I'm quite sure the bylaws say one director and two LSB delegates per committee. I'm just wondering, do we now have three people from that station on the committee, or only two?
Well, that's a good question, James. My point was that I didn't want to spend 1 hour discussing who is on and who's not on. The whole point of the meeting was to come up with proposals of what to do with the next election. So I had no, the dog in the race?
Dog in the fight, yeah.
Dog in the fight. So for me, it didn't matter what the, who decided what. I just wanted to have the meeting focus on what needed to be done. And if other people wanted to argue about who gets the seat, then I'll let them do that another time, but not in my meeting.
I see Beth and then Adriana's hands. Go ahead, Beth.
Well, I had questions along the same lines, that that committee did take time to exclude Mr. Jacobson months ago, illegitimately, as it turned out, and then had to accept him back. But now they don't want to take time to rectify the problem that KPFK now has four representatives on that that PNB committee, whereas the bylaws authorizes three. And indeed, the fourth is someone who the KPFK LSB presumes to send after she was presumably elected in an election that this PNB voted to suspend before there was a result. The local LSB has sent her anyway, in spite of that fact, in defiance of the PNB, and overloaded the committee. So the roster of that committee exceeds the PNB, or excuse me, it exceeds the bylaws specified number, and that needs to be corrected, especially on that this isn't just any committee, this is the Elections Committee, in a year when elections have been a particularly sore spot, and when we know that the court is scrutinizing Pacifica for compliance with the bylaws on matters of election. So thank you. I would appreciate further clarification and some plan to rectify that committee. Thank you.
Adriana.
Yeah, Madam Chair. I agree. Committees, need to supposedly follow up bylaws, motions of the PNB, and decision of the PNB. It's not up to the committees to decide or who is automatically. If the PNB, like we did, approved to reinstate that guy, technically, it's nothing to discuss for the election committee. The election committee need to accept what the PNB decide. That to start with. But my question to the election committee chair is, do you have any answers? Because we have a bunch of questions about the irregularities in the election committee, in the election, this last election that I said before, for me, is a sham election. But I didn't have any answer from the NES. And I asked specifically the election committee to investigate these irregularities. Did you ask the NES? Did anybody investigate what happened, or it's just under the rug? Thank you.
Do you want to answer that, or?
Well, sure. Yeah, we plan to do an evaluation of the NES, and all of the issues about the problem with the election has been brought up. And then, like I said, we'll summarize that. And again, you know, this whole thing about who's seating and whatnot is, if you want to spend 1 hour, you're more than welcome to it. But you can critique what I decided, and that's up to you.
Beth, did you already speak? I think you did on this, didn't you? Vanessa's next.
Would be a follow-up, Madam Chair, because I don't have an answer.
We're going to keep going. Go ahead, Vanessa.
So, Aki, you know, I sit on that committee as well. I sit on elections as well. And you just said that, referring to the situation, there was not going to be any time taken about this on your committee. It's not your committee. It's not my committee. It's a PMB committee, and we answer to the listeners and the PNB. So it's not our decision to make. And you didn't make the decision. You had made a decision, and then you were challenged, and then you backed off. And then the committee made the decision for this person who is Beth, you know, very succinctly described, should not have had a place on the committee. For the reasons that Beth noted, and the committee, sort of like the politics of personality, it appears, made a decision that not only would she stay, but she would be a voting member. It matters who's on a committee, every committee. It matters if the proper process was used to either put that person on a committee, to remove them from the committee. It matters what the composition of a committee is, because then it has the potential to impact the vote. Whatever votes, whatever decisions are made on the committee are directly related to who is on the committee. And so it does matter. It matters. And if a committee is doing something in violation, we've made a lot of this about KPFK, they violated the PNB, the all-powerful PNB. But when a committee does it, then something should be made of that as well. If it's wrong for one entity, then it's equally as wrong for another.
Time,
Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I don't want to interrupt, but...
Yep. Nope. Got you.
Did you hear me say time also? I just didn't
I
know.
Did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. I see Aki and Teresa still have their hands up.
Aki appears to have lowered his.
Yep. Teresa, if you want to, say something, you will have to ask to extend time or make a motion to extend time on this item. You're muted.
Well, I hope there won't be an objection, but I move to extend 1 minute.
I second.
Thank you, Dingaman. Any objections to the motion to extend for 1 minute?
You hearing can none, record go ahead. My objection, and I don't require a vote. But
okay,
I will
thank you. Yes. passes with one objection, Nancy. Thank you, Fred. Teresa, go ahead. 1 minute.
I'm looking at the research that I did on those on the situation involving the KPFK LSB. You know, all hell broke loose on December 18th. There were people that we removed because they were spitting on people, threatening people, doxing people, you know, all kinds of very bad behavior, which was very stressful. And then they had their meeting, and which the PNB endorsed, and our chair of our board went, PNB went there. I just think it's been very, very confusing. And the elections committee allowed with some problems, but allowed Eric to attend the elections meetings. I think that for the next two meetings we ought to allow Christina Avalos attend the meetings. So I'm going to vote for it because there was just too much confusion. And I don't think it's worth people feeling all guilty or throwing guilt trips on everybody because of it.
So. Point of information.
Go ahead, Fred.
Do we have a motion on the floor?
We do not actually have a motion on the floor.
I move that we close this, we table this event, this agenda item.
We extended for 1 minute. The minute's up. We don't have to actually table the agenda item. Better. We just keep going. Okay. So, that was elections. Next up is, programming committee. Heather?
How many minutes, Madam Chair, please?
Oh, sorry. Programming is 5 minutes.
Yes, we don't have all that much to report. I just do want to mention to everyone, however, that we do have discussions with the Association of the Affiliates. Joan Ross is ahead of that, along with Ursa always joins as well. My voice is going on me tonight. I'm sorry, you all. I've had some family issues I've had to deal with, so it's a little bit difficult. And I'm going to ask Bill Foster if he wants to add anything to this, but I need to say that Ursula and Joan Ross as well went to the, hold on just a moment here.
Grassroots Radio Conf.
The Grassroots Radio Conf. Absolutely. And just saying how wonderful it was. So who's it? Teresa, you were talking about that, right? You mentioned that. Is that correct?
No, I didn't mention, but I'm always thinking of it because it is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, they said it was just, I would love to have gone. I couldn't go this year, but they said it was just wonderful. Great. I'm going to read just quickly the statement about this. Join the National Grassroots Radio Conference, a thriving hub for community media sphere encompassing LPFM radio, full power and NCE stations, college stations, dedicated radio operators, organizers, enthusiasts, and industry specialists committed to championing independent radio programming. So in the last discussion we had, we do have these meetings frequently actually, getting a report on what's happening with the affiliates, but a lot of the discussion was about this conference, which is absolutely they really enjoyed it. And so I think more Pacifica folks should be going to this as well, actually. So, but things are going well. I don't know how much to report, Julie, but, I want to ask Bill, do you want to say something here about the affiliates?
No, except that, next year I'll probably be going, you know, this year I had a death in the family, and so I was all out of sorts. And I appreciate everybody's well wishes, but I'll be going next year to the Grassroots Conference, and there were no other pressing issues in that meeting that I could think of.
Well, thanks.
That's okay. So it sounds like, Heather, you just gave kind of an amalgam of the programming and the affiliates report at the same time.
Yes, I did to a degree, but I just want to mention that we do have these meetings frequently. I would say every other week we have a meeting to discuss what's happening with the affiliates. It's always very helpful. It's always so fascinating because, you know, the affiliates are just all over the country.
Yeah,
there are a lot of them.
Yeah.
So, so it's just always very fascinating. So I don't know where else to go from there, but I just want to share that with everyone. And actually what I'd like to do is provide more information altogether via emails and so forth, which I think I'll start doing more. But anyway, thanks, Julie.
Yep. Is there anything from the programming committee to report, Heather?
Well, I'm going to ask, we have not been able to have a meeting. I was hoping on doing that, but I've not been able to do it. So I'm going to ask Sue and also Jim, could you report on what we talked about doing the last time?
Thank you.
On that quickly? Yeah.
Thank you, Heather. Well, one thing I want to mention, I think Stephanie had gotten involved with some national initiatives. Am I right, Stephanie, about increasing low power FM stations? Is that maybe Stephanie could elucidate on that in greater length? But that kind of thing I think is great that we're doing that at the national level. I think the issue of national shows, I have to say, since the whole situation that we're currently living through began on October 7th, I certainly have been creating specials on the air in New York. And I will return soon again to that issue of national teach-ins because I sure as hell am learning and reaching out throughout the Middle East and Europe as to people to get. And I have to say that one of the most interesting conversations I had in terms of national programming, which was with Richard Falk, who people may remember from the period of the war in Vietnam. And he was 100% in favor of doing that kind of thing. He said, there's no place but Pacifica that could do it. So in terms of national programming, I think we should, again, revisit the issue of what to do with this crisis that we're seeing every day on television. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Jim. Sue, do you want to say anything?
Yeah. Adriana, time and
just quickly, I think the programming committee and my talks with Heather and folks on the committee is we are, you know, very aligned on the idea of how do we consolidate all of the listening resources and that Pacifica has into products that the public can access and know about Pacifica, and how do we present them that are in the context of this new kind of listening environment. We just need to meet more and figure it out, right?
Which we will do.
But yes, we will, Heather.
Which
we will
do. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. And we're at time for the programming committee. So if anyone has questions for the programming committee, they would have to ask for an extension.
Madam Chair, to acknowledge Adriana, obviously she spoke, but to acknowledge that Sue was in the meeting, she already spoke. That's okay.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you. I noticed that she had entered the meeting, but Sue Goodwin's here, Nancy. So now all the members are present. Okay. So the next committee up is Strategic Planning Committee for 5 minutes. Go ahead, Dingman.
All right. I'll be brief. First of all, you'll see that there's an underwriting motion that's there. I want to thank Alex for helping to do that, Alex Steinberg. So hopefully that'll be a cleaned up version of the underwriting motion. Secondly, the draft is I hope to get finished by the end of the month, and I will show it around. This is different than what we got from Stephanie. And although I'll, of course, show it to Stephanie, and I hope to get this unveiled. I'm just now re-editing it and get other people involved. And then, you know, I'll take the full flush of initial criticisms. As I say, it's a very rough draft. But the one thing to get into that relates to the question raised earlier by Darlene is the issue of revenue generation. Because to me, that was the one thing I've been grappling with when I'm looking at this. I mean, how the hell do we get out of this fiscal mess? And It's not easy. There's no easy solutions. So the main problem, as was mentioned earlier by Stephanie, is lack of audience and lack of attraction of content to the public in general. And so that to me is one of the real problems and issues to grapple with. And what I did do in the beginning of this draft is lay out all the different statistical analyses of how we got here. You know, and this is a long process, been going on for 30 years, didn't just show up. I believe, the source of a lot of resentment and anger and bitterness, which we see manifested in all sorts of ways. And what I am trying to do in getting other inputs from other people is figure out, you know, ways to get out of this. And it has to really, the issue of revenue generation is to me the key issue to solve. Not easy problem to solve. Thank you.
Adriana.
Thank you. Jim, first of all, I want to, I never receive, I know that we have it from before. We have a whole study from the liaison, from the foundation, from the Pacifica Foundation to the CPD, with the strict guidelines about what was accepted or not as, I cannot remember the term that you just said. Underwriting. I'm sorry. Underwriting. Me personally, I agree with you and Mrs. Stephanie that one of the problems that we have, the basic problem, and we don't have content that attract people. That is our main problem. That's why we don't have listeners and then we don't have people that put money. I personally am against underwriting, but in case that the foundation approve underwriting, need to be the, I don't know where that guidance are because it's a very thin line. And I personally disagree with the issue. I think that we should solve the content. Thank you.
May I respond to that quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, the underwriting motion is basically, we're talking about adopting policy now. The underwriting motion that was passed a year ago was a temporary experiment, if you will. And now we have different actions going on throughout the different stations. New York has raised, I believe, close to 100,000. We have initiatives in KPFK. I mean, there's all these different things going on, all different stations in different ways. So it's just simply one stream among many. I don't think it's mutually, you know, exclusive to just be doing the underwriting, then doing the content. All these things go simultaneously at once. They all actually reinforce each other. And as the people in the affiliates know, Heather, of course, is very familiar with this. That's one of the kernels of how mom, pops, and local businesses in local areas help various stations that we are allied with in the community radio system. So anyway, this is just to solidify something that's already underway and has the potential to be a bona fide help to our financial problem.
All right. Adriana, did you just put your hand up again?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
The last is a question. Jim, you, or Stephanie maybe, do we have any, I know that we should have a strict guidance from our, some kind of lawyers or like was before from the liaison between us, the foundation and CPB. I want to know if that exists and if you have it. I wasn't in the PMB last year. And I, if somebody has it, I will ask that be sent to me. I want to check what are the guidelines, the legal ones that we should adhere to. Thank you.
Just quick, you're talking about the underwriting guidelines?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty well extensively researched, but sure, I can send it to you. I can send it to everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Next up is Personnel Committee for 5 minutes. Darlene?
Yeah, I'm going to read a list. You can ask me questions about it when I'm done. Vanessa Sue Goodman, excuse me, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Sue Goodman, Heather Gray, Donna Grimes, Jim McFadden, Sean Rhodes, Sharon Salam, Van Guten,
point of order, Chair.
Bill Foster,
and point of order, Chair.
Kasanov.
What's the rule that's being broken here?
Public
I believe we're naming names here, and if I'm right about where Darlene is going with this, it would be inappropriate to name people like that.
I'm calling the roll as we did at the beginning of the meeting with the very same names and asking those people, if you believe that you have sent in your completed personnel, executive director evaluation, yeah. I have not received it. So please
it is, Chair.
Get to
Chair,
me.
Objection. That's a point of order, Chair. That doesn't need to be done in a public meeting. She could pick up the phone and call people.
I'm asking people to let me know if I'm incorrect in my getting
continuing violation.
Not appropriate, darling.
In open meeting.
I have my hand up, Madam Chair.
Okay. So hang on. There was a point of order, and I'm sorry. I'm going to reject the point of order because what Darlene did was she asked people to correct her if they in fact sent something to her. I think that's a legitimate thing for the chair of a committee to ask, since after all, feedback is an important component of what the personnel committee is going to do. I see hands. I see Sue Goodwin's and I see Adriana's. Go ahead, Sue.
I'll just say I do believe I sent it in, though I think I'm getting emails that I didn't. I kind of don't know what to do about that. And my name is Goodwin, not Goodman. Okay.
Thank you. And I'll get back to you, Sue. So we can sort that out.
Adriana, go ahead.
Yes, Madam Chair, I want to clarify something. I believe that, and I expressed it before, and I said in one of our meetings, one of the problems with this evaluation is the guidelines. We cannot evaluate people. We should evaluate people that have a contract with their contract, not with whatever we said that was the job description. And that's why I believe that this evaluation that you want us to complete is not the real one. We need to evaluate people against the contract that they signed with the foundation. That is the only obligation from the employee and from us. And that's why I believe that this process that is more than 2 years that should be done and never was done, now is trying to be rushed and with the wrong parameters. That is my answer. Thank you.
Okay, and I will just note for everyone's benefit, you all have the contract so you could fill out an evaluation on the basis of the contract alone, if you so chose. And the other thing is Stephanie has not been employed by Pacifica for 2 years. So we are not 2 years behind. In a handful of months, we will be, but we're not there right now. And we're trying to, you know, I mean,
talk about the directives that we receive to fill up that application, Madam Chair. That is what I was talking about.
I'm done.
So let me continue the report. So 39 folks overall, not just the PMB, of course, were asked for their very valuable feedback. We have gotten 70% of those back. And I'll just let you know how that spreads out. In the PMB, I have in hand 11 out of 21. Do please let me know if you're afraid I don't have your name in that list. Two of our four national officers, these are the number of completions. Four out of five general managers of direct reports, five out of six have responded, and other staff who are not direct reports to Stephanie, of the four asked, three have replied, and we asked three outside that circle that I just described, and two out of two have replied, and the others declined, and for professional reasons, that was totally appropriate for them to decline. And the one problem we're having moving further into this, so I want to thank everybody who's gotten us up to the 70% of returns, is that we're having trouble still reaching quorum with the meetings. And in this last meeting, we had three people show up and one excused absence request. So I have materials to send to the people on the committee. So I'll send it to you with yet another reminder of the meetings, which are the next two Mondays. They are not going to be broadcast or live streamed or whatever we call it, because this is the point in which we will now start dealing with the evaluation, and that's personnel material that we will not broadcast. And that is my report.
Do I have a question?
Yeah, but I saw Dingaman's hand first. Go ahead, Dingaman, and then okay. Sagerton.
Yeah, Darlene, I do apologize. We were actually having a management evaluation committee meeting that night in New York. And I do think it's very important throughout the system to get this back in some regularity. And, the CMB should be an example to show that this is being done. You know, Darlene and I can disagree about a lot of stuff, but I think that this is something very important to be done at the national level and the local level with regularity, because it has essentially broken down at the local level, and even personally think the interims have to be also evaluated. We have to get that kind of thing going. So it's very important to do it. And I agree with Julie, people can answer these questions any damn way they want, whichever way they feel is satisfactory to their point of view in terms of a contract or not. There's issues I know I have very strong feelings about. I put my opinions in it anyway. And, so no one's stopping anybody to, express themselves about what they think should be included or not. I do think it's important to get this underway and not stop it. Thank you.
Sharon to the stack.
I got you, Sharon. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Well, Sharon could go.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead. It's all right.
Oh, I thought I was muted. I was.
No, go ahead.
Thank you, Sharon. All right. I wanted to say that I did complete my evaluation for the executive director. I turned it in on time, and I'm hearing now that is the time been extended now, because I think I did four or five pages, but I wanted to do more and I was rushing to get it in by the deadline. Are we accepting additional input? And I have one more thing after that, Chair.
Given the state of the situation, I am duck herding. I don't know if that's the term. Duck herding is as fast and wide as I can. And if people will get their materials in, I'll take it.
May I submit additional information at this point,
yes.
Darlene?
Oh, yeah. Go
Thank
ahead.
You.
Yeah. Just take what you have and add to it what you would, and Darlene will take care of the rest. Sharon, you're next.
I just have a quick question, and it may be relevant to this or not, but once this is done, let's say, and there's a situation where corrections need to be made, are we also thinking about how to make those corrections?
Can I ask what you mean by corrections? Do you mean?
Well, let's say you did the report, and let's say a person comes up short in a certain area.
Or well, it comes just, to the PMB.
To make it simple, let's say they mentioned how there was no sex harassment information on the board was the complaint, right? So do we have something that we can say, well, we've addressed this issue and now that sex harassment piece is on the board invisible, non-discriminating type things, you know, whatever it is you're going to say, like how are you going to improve on the person's actions?
Well, here's what happens next. We summarize, we the committee, summarize everything that we get back. There'll be, we can highlight the highlights and we can point out, the areas that seem to need correction or attention, whatever. We do it because we're not going to give out the exact answers that each person made. So we have to summarize it. And yes, we have to summarize basically what works well, what needs improvement, what is missing. So, and then we send that summary to the PMB members and the PMB members review it and make a conclusion as to Stephanie's continued contract.
And I just want to, point out to people that, it's now November, and so, there'll be a new PNB in January. And so the thing that we need to do, if we want the LSBs to do reviews of general managers, we need to model good behavior. Leadership starts at the top. So that's why we need to get this done, as quickly as possible. And frankly, the more input, the better the review will be. So, I just implore people. I know we're all busy, but,
So
you can spend, you can spend 5 minutes on it or you can spend 5 hours on it. I don't care which it is, but just do something and submit it to Darlene. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Darlene.
The personnel committee gathers, makes a summation, and then turns it over to the PNB because we are a committee of the PNB. We are not the, decision makers, but it's our job to, make sure there's an, that a wide enough net is cast of people who, whose feedback we seek, get them in, and then we do the summarizing and turn the summation report into the PNB. Those are the next steps. Does that help, Sharon?
A little bit.
Thank you.
I see Sagerton in Fred's hands. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Madam Chair, we have only 10 minutes in this. We need to ask for time if it's 10 minutes.
Actually, it was 5 minutes, but
okay,
so that suggests that we've blown through that stop sign. Sagerton, if you want to ask a question or Fred, you'd need to extend the time.
Yeah, let me ask for an extension. I move to extend for 5, unless others want to up that.
I second it.
Fred, you're muted. I can't hear you.
I adamantly oppose it and demand a roll call vote.
Okay. Nancy, can we take a roll call vote on extending for 5 minutes?
Okay.
Are any other objections, Madam Chair?
He asked for a roll call vote.
And then we'll continue.
Roll call votes require 40%, Madam Chair, according to Robert Rule of Orders.
The point is, at this point, we're changing the agenda, so we need a two-thirds vote. If it passed without objection, that would obviously be two-thirds vote. He asked for a roll call vote. Let's just go and not dwell on this. Nancy, go ahead.
This is the personnel committee.
Yes.
What's a extending, yes and what's a no?
Yes means extend for five. No means don't extend for five.
Teresa Allen?
Allen says yes.
Allen, yes. Adriana Casanabe?
Yes.
Casanabe, yes. James Dingman?
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon-Briggs?
Yes.
Dixon-Briggs, yes. Fred Dodsworth?
No.
Dodsworth, no. William Foster?
Yes.
Foster, yes. Sue Goodwin?
Yes.
Goodwin, yes. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Gray, yes. Donna Grimes?
Yes.
Valia Jones?
Yes.
Jones, yes. Ellie Lexa? Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Martinez, yes. James McFadden?
Abstain.
Pagano?
Yes.
Pagano, yes. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Rhodes, yes. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Sagerton, yes. Jerome Salon?
Be careful, Poppy.
Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Tanaka, yes. Is it Von Gunton?
Yes.
Von Gunton, yes. Egberto Willings? Ellie Lexa? Can't hear you.
I'm sorry, what's this vote on?
Extending 5 minutes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yep.
Extending 5 minutes.
Can you hear me?
Is the vote.
Yes, we can.
I'm sorry, what are we voting?
Yes means extend the personnel committee for 5 minutes.
Lexa, yes. Egberto Willis.
I'll vote yes.
No.
No. Willis, no. Lexa, yes. 17, yes. Oops, I meant now. 2, no. Charity wish to vote.
Abstain.
Chair abstains.
All right.
I didn't get my name called.
Oh, it sounded like you said yes. I heard noise when I called your name, and it sounded like you said something.
Does that work for you, Sharon?
I said yes, and I didn't hear any objection to that.
Okay. All right.
All right. Great. Sagerton.
So is that okay, Salon?
Yeah. Yeah, she said yes. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
So 5 more minutes. Thank you. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to reiterate what Dingman said, that at WBI we were having an executive session for our management evaluation committee that was scheduled to end at 8:30, which theoretically would have allowed us to come to the National Personnel Committee, but it ran late. I think it ran almost till 10:30, and it was, you know, we were in the middle of a robust discussion, and I apologize. I did not think to call to ask for an excused absence, which is a question I have. I keep hearing about excused absences being asked for in committee. We can do this another time, but I thought we didn't take excused absences in committees. Just a question. And I want to say that I approve of this process. I want this process to move forward. We owe it to our employees. That's why I stayed in the management evaluation committee meeting at WBAI. We owe this to Stephanie. It's in her contract. She was supposed to get it a year ago, more than a year ago now. So we need to do this. We need to evaluate our employees so we can give them feedback on how they're doing. If we have employees that we think are doing a terrible job, we can't really fire them effectively without having these evaluations. We can't advise them on how to improve without them. So this is something we need to do. And I want to ask Darlene if she could say just a few words about the anonymizing process for anybody who's concerned about giving input that might identify them and then their relationship would be blown with the person that they're evaluating. Can you just say a few words about anonymization, Darlene?
Right. All of these replies are coming only to me. They're not coming to the whole committee. I take them, I read them, I strip everything that I can that is identifying, such as your job title, where, which station you're at, a few other things like that, that just sort of like give it away. So everything is stripped out. And then, so then I have a file. Oh, and it gets a code number. You don't have your name no longer appears on circulating among the committee documents. You get a code number, and that's how we will work. We will work with number 116 or 103. That's sort of the thing. I have the, what is it called? The key, the roster. I'm the only one that knows what name goes with which code number. And all I could say is, I find myself trustworthy. I try really hard. That's the one place where we're going to have to ask for trust. Thank you. That I will not be spreading around who said what. And then that's how we will work. That's how it is anonymous. Now, Stephanie's, of course, is not at all anonymous because it's Stephanie, but she knew that going into it, so it's okay. By the way, she's code number 00. And that's how we'll work. There is nothing that I can think of that will ever identify the returned evaluations.
All right. Next up is Fred.
I just want to say that I have no fear that my identity will be disclosed by the things that I have said, because I stand by what I've said. It doesn't bother me at all. I have enormous trust in Darlene, and I really enjoyed taking the time that it took for me to fill out this form. So all of you who have differing opinions will want to know that I filled out this form, and that may encourage you to fill out the form yourselves.
May I say one thing about that, Fred? The word form keeps running around. And in fact, we are strictly going by what the PNB offered to Stephanie and what Stephanie agreed. And that is what what everyone is making comment on. There's nothing separate. There's no chart, check off, form, scale. Any other words that have come up, we're using one set of criteria, one set of evaluations.
Thank you very much for clarifying that.
Next is Adriana, then Dingaman. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes, Darlene, you know that there were bylaws require the LSPs to evaluate once a year the executive director. Did have any provisions there? Because I didn't receive anything from KPFT in our LSB, anything about that. That is required by the bylaws. When we are talking about bylaw requirements, I want to know if that went to the LSBs. Thank you.
The bylaws that I read said that the responsibility of the LSBs is to conduct or participate in the evaluation of the general manager. their general manager. Stephanie is the executive director and answers to the PNB, and the PNB will be the group that passes on the information that it has been collected for us. And I hope, Adriana, that the personnel committee will be invited to be part of, even if it's just project manager, to be part of the LSB's giving an evaluation of their general manager.
Yes, once that you are voted in our LSB, we will allow everybody that is the LSB be a participant. Yes. And I will send you the quote from the bylaws to show you that this is a different opinion. Thank you.
Dingaman, go ahead.
Yeah, the anonymity question came up in the situation in New York, and I was sort of interested listening to Darlene talk about that, because I know last year when I was on this committee, we talked about, basically developing forms that could be used locally as well. And I'd be curious, as we proceed, to get best practices for anonymity, because, you know, you don't want to have some staff member, paid or unpaid, give their opinion about their boss, and then, you know, oh, the boss gets the information and then, you know, can use that in a punitive manner against that person. That's something that came up. And so moving forward, it'd be very interesting, and I'm sure Darlene has all sorts of interesting ideas about this, but I'd like to know what they are industry-wide to ensure that information, which is vital. You know, you'd like to hear what workers have to say about their boss and take it with a grain of salt or not, but how to make sure that that's guaranteed to be anonymous.
We could talk about that in the personnel committee meeting at the end as we're wrapping up. That would be good.
Great. Thanks, Darlene. I don't see any other questions, so we will move on to...
Time, Madam Chair.
Yeah, thank you. We will move on then to the, what's next? Development Task Force. This is a 3-minute item. Beth?
Yes, this won't take long. The Development Task Force did meet again on the 4th. Monday of the month, as we do every month. Unfortunately, this month, because it's a task force, it doesn't actually have a qualifying quorum, but if it had, we wouldn't have made it, because as this year, increasingly, multiple other meetings are scheduled on that same night, specific meetings. And the more that's done, the more all meetings have a difficulty meeting quorum and getting anything done. So these meetings, I posted to KPFTX at the beginning of the year, so they were up there before anything else was, and that has not prevented other meetings from being posted on top of and right up against these meetings. And it has knocked our attendance from averaging 15 or more per meeting down to the same 3 or 4 or 5 people, which is... hard to say that that's productive. We had a great conversation. It's not the same as hosting a networking forum for the network each month. So I think the PNB needs to give some consideration to what they want from this task force and the extent to which they're prepared to support it by making room for it in the schedule. I would also ask that other meetings refrain from scheduling on top of previously scheduled meetings, and please, please establish regular meeting schedules, move away from the ad hoc, irregular, multiple meetings, with committees that tend to schedule ad hoc meetings have been scheduling more than one meeting, sometimes multiple meetings each month, and then none at other times, and it makes for a chaotic schedule for us all. So we will meet again on Monday, November 20. I have to flip to that. 27th. Okay. November. So everyone is be welcome. You can look for the information on KPFTX. Thank you.
Technology task. Oh, I'm sorry. Are there any questions for Beth? Okay. Next up is Technology Task Force. Dingaman, is there a report for that? Up to 3 minutes.
Be very quick. We're going to have a meeting on November 11th. We're going to talk about new research into the habits of Gen Z and Gen Alpha listening and podcasting, new stuff on podcasting.
Great. Thanks. Okay. Any questions for Dingaman? All right. Next up is the Ad Hoc Investigative Committee. This is a 5-minute report.
Thank you. I did email this to the secretary ahead of the meeting, so you should all have had it. I can send it again after this if people want it again. So, introduction. The KPFK 2023 LSV roster was first called into question at the December 18th, 2022 regular LSV meeting, at which the new 2023 LSV was to be seated for the first time. The roster cited that day by then chair Zeri Rideau differed by three members from that which was recognized by the PNB in contradiction to three recent PNB resolutions. The LSB then split over the dispute and remained in disarray until on March 23, 2023, the PNB agreed upon a recognized roster, namely Grace Aaron, Christine Avalos, Jose Benavides, Fred Blair, Sandy Childs, Marisol Cruz, George Fundmaker, Ralph Hawkins, Michael Heiss, Eric Jacobson, Avelia Jones, Ali Lexa, Rob Macon, Barbara Marbach, Oye Oye Yippo, Myla Reeson, Paul Roberson, Janine Roan, who is suspended for the year, Ruth Strauss, Oscar Ulloa, Polina Vasiliev, Beth von Gunten, Harvey Wasserman, and Carlos Zavala. On March 26, 2023, the first meeting of that newly recognized KPFK LSB was convened. That roster remained unchanged through the first few meetings until on June 4, 2023, one of a rapid series of irregular KPFK LSB meetings was convened, at which the KPFK officers dropped 9 delegates from the roster, namely Grace Aaron, Jose Benavides, Fred Blair, Marisol Cruz, George Fundmaker, Ralph Hawkins, Eric Jacobson, Oscar Ulloa, and Paulina Vasiliev, ostensibly for 3 consecutive unexcused absences, though none had been afforded the measures provided by existing Pacifica policy for removing Pacifica committee members. They were immediately, seemingly indiscriminately, but only partially replaced with 4 runners-up, namely Mike Bressler, the number 11 runner-up, Sue Cohen-Johnson, the number 12 runner-up, Doug Barnett, the number 15 runner-up, and John Crumshaw, the number 1 staff runner-up. The other 3 were listed runners-up. The runners-up are to be seated in their ordered ranking in the most recent election. Listed runners-up numbers 7, 8, 9, 10, and 13 were passed over. KPFK officers have provided no documentation or explanation then or since as to why some were seated, others were not, or how those decisions were reached. 5 seats were left empty, also without explanation. Other runners-up were added at later dates, also without explanation, even in response to direct requests. Of 9 seats vacated by the officers on June 4, 3 remain empty to this day, though the LSB officers have to date failed to provide any explanation. It is this ongoing disorder and dispute that this investigation and report address. Points of contention. None of the 9 members removed were given advance notice or warning of pending removal after two absences, notice of their actual removal, or any process by which to appeal their removal as required by Pacifica policy. And that's footnoted to reference which policy. You'll find it in the written document. All were simply summarily dropped from the roster and the LSB email and meeting notice lists by the officers. Those removed were deliberately excluded from the June 4 meeting and all subsequent meetings, thereby effectively denying them due process and the opportunity to address their peers on the LSB to challenge their removal. The officers' altered roster was challenged immediately by others present at the June 4th meeting and remains in contention. The chair refused to hear the matter at the time or since and has advised only take it to the PNB. Hence, this process. Unresolved issues. When the 9 members were removed, 4 were replaced the same day by runners-up with no explanation of the process by which each had been appointed, nor any indication as to which runner-up was replacing which of those removed. There's a provenance of each seat and each delegate necessary to determine the correct order of succession the next time any seat changes hands, whether individually or at the seating of the next LSB, was thus lost. Several direct, open, public requests to KPFK officers in recent months requested documentation of the roster of members and attendance for the year to date, listing all changes to the roster and explaining each change. Such requests were repeated in director's reports, my director's reports to the LSB via email, and ultimately reiterated as director's inspections. The requested information has yet to be provided. KPFK officers consistently disavow any responsibility to provide anything more than the minutes posted to KPFTX. Moreover, KPFK officers have yet to provide documentation or other indication that those they removed were afforded the requisite notice, communication, or due process as required by Pacifica policy. The PNB has since restored one delegate, Eric C. Jacobson, to his seat on the basis that he was wrongly removed as a consequence of several irregularities. It is now apparent that the most egregious violation, that he was denied due process as provided by existing Pacifica policy, applies to all those removed without exception. In sum, KPFK LSB officers summarily removed 9 members improperly, more than a third of the LSB, disregarding Pacifica policy, only one of whom has been restored to his seat. They have replaced some of those removed, though not all, with runners-up seemingly indiscriminately, with no regard for or any way to determine the correct order of succession of LSB seats. Even with the restoration of Mr. Jacobson to the roster, the seats of 3 of the 9 removed in June remain empty to this day. Summary. The next LSB is to be seated in December. 12 of those seats will be filled by the newly elected delegates, but 12 carry over from this year's LSB. As currently constituted, it is not possible to determine which 12 would rightly carry over from this year's LSB to the next. To proceed on the basis of the currently faulty roster would leave not only the KPFK LSB roster, but also the all national committee rosters and indeed next year's PNB roster in question and the target of further dispute, a distinct liability for Pacifica in these litigious times. Current course correction is imperative now before the new incoming boards are seated in December. We dare not pass this disorder on to our successors. The PNB has the authority and the duty to act while there are still, while we are still in a position to remedy the situation and restore order and stability to KPFK LSB and to Pacifica. Fortunately, it's still within our ability to do so. This is followed by a motion to restore order to the KPFK LSB. Whereas participatory democratic process is integral to the Pacifica's structure, function, and identity as articulated in Pacifica bylaws. And whereas open, transparent determination of the proper roster of any Pacifica body is fundamental to all subsequent democratic processes. And whereas on March 23, 2023, the PNB acted to restore order and reestablish the roster of the KPFK LSB. And whereas on June 4, 2023, the KPFK LSB acted to remove and replace more than a third of the LSB in violation of Pacifica policy requiring prior notice. And whereas the extraordinary legal and financial stresses to which Pacifica has been subject in
point of order
is
point of order. Is,
Teresa, what's your point of order?
Is this being timed? This is not an official report. And I mean, and I don't see anything in writing.
I moved to extend and I provided all of this in writing to the entire PNB.
You know, I never did receive the documentation that you said you sent before the last PNB meeting. When did you send this?
Immediately before, well, it was a couple of hours before today's PNB meeting. I can send it again. Also, it should be in the agenda. I think I sent it first to the secretary so that she could provide it to everyone. I will send it again after I finish what I'm saying. And so if necessary, I move to extend by 10.
Vanessa seconds.
I'm just not seeing it here. Okay. I mean, hang on. Okay.
Beth is correct that she sent it to just me and Nancy. I don't see an email to all of the PNB on this. So I just forwarded it to everybody. So in theory, everybody has it now.
Point of order.
Okay, well, I'm not done with the first point of order. I'm sorry. What was your point of order again, Teresa? I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, I didn't see it. We haven't seen it. And if she's asking for a vote on it, that's just not appropriate. I've also sent out research and I've also sent a motion. And this is not anything from any investigative committee. And people on the PNB need to realize this because it's real difficult to counter some things that are confusing or maybe even in error when we don't see it.
Beth, did the committee vote on this as a motion?
The committee has not, because of the congested calendar at this late date in the year, and because the committee let all their business go until the end of the year, it has not been possible to find a time when all five, or when we could make quorum with it since the last PNB meeting. Teresa made herself available for 1 hour last week, wedged between one meeting that I chaired and a further PNB meeting, and it just wasn't possible to squeeze one more thing in and get a quorum out of that meeting. And so we didn't meet by quorum last week. Teresa expressed to the committee that she was on vacation after that and not available. Ali did attend one meeting and made very valuable contributions at that time, and I thank him for that. We haven't heard from him since then. Vanessa and Adriana have remained in contact with me via email and occasional phone calls and have contributed to the information in this investigative report. And this is indeed a report from the committee. If we need to, go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is I'm not discounting that it's a report from the committee. What I am concerned about is that it is actually a motion from the committee. If the committee didn't vote on it, then it's a motion from a member. Other, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
May we hear from others on the committee? If I'm not mistaken, a majority support the motion.
It doesn't matter if you can like demonstrate majority support by talking in the meeting. This is not the ad hoc investigative committee meeting. This is the PMB meeting. And so I can't put a motion on the agenda that from a committee that the committee didn't vote on.
Chair.
Point of order.
Chair.
Okay. Hang on. I don't know who said point of order.
Ali, point of order.
Ali,
we've exhausted time for this report. There was a motion to extend. It hasn't been addressed. We're not following proper procedure.
Yeah. I think what happened was, if I remember correctly, Teresa made a point of order and, right around the time that Beth was asking for a motion to extend. And the point is I have to deal with the rules say I have to deal with the point of order first. And yes, people, we are out of time as well. Let's see. And so somebody else just said point of order and Nancy's also trying to get my attention and I'm just going to try and like roll it back people and see how I deal with this in order. And, I think the point of order that Teresa was making was effectively the same thing I just said, which is that this was not a motion coming from a committee, that it was a motion that might have the support of a majority of the committee, but it wasn't voted on. So, I don't know how to fix that. Absent having another committee meeting.
Second. A motion that is from a member after a report.
I will recognize people and then I will have them speak. Nancy, you were trying to get my attention. I want to hear what you have to say.
I just put it in the chat. The email that Beth was referring to was sent 6:47 p.m. to PMB.
Okay. Ending. Got it. Okay. Okay. So then everybody does have it. Okay. Got it. Thank you. That was helpful.
May I also say something?
No. I will recognize the other person who made a point of order. And that was Ali. Ali, I'm sorry. You remind me what your point of order is. That I was not following proper protocol because we were out of time and there was a something. Ali, can you remind me what your point of order is?
We've exhausted time on this item. There was a motion to extend. It was never voted on.
It was seconded.
5 minutes. Yes, it was seconded.
Right, but it was seconded, but then came the point of order, if I recall, and I have to deal with the point of order first. And my ruling is that the motion is not properly from the committee if the committee did not vote on it. So, and that is why, folks, actually, I put it on the agenda, but I put it under new business because my understanding was that the committee hadn't voted on it. So, do we still need, a motion to extend to, discuss this if we're out of time? And well, no, I know if we're going to keep talking about it, we need a motion to extend. But the question is, does whoever made the motion to extend need to make the motion still based on, and I can't remember now who made the motion to extend. Maybe it was Beth.
If we're not
voting on this motion as part of the ad hoc investigative committee report, do we need a motion to extend the ad hoc investigative committee report?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes. It was I who made the motion to extend. That was then seconded. Every other committee is allowed time for questions and discussion after the report. Whether we proceed with the motion now or later, the PNB has a right to examine this issue and discuss it, and this is by far the most appropriate time. As I point out in the report, there's a time element in this. We're coming to the end of the year. This needs to be resolved.
Beth, you're arguing the point. I'm gonna find out now. You don't have to support it. I am going to find out. Are there any objections to the motion?
Absolutely.
Hang on. How long was the motion to extend for? I'm sorry, I don't remember that fact now.
10 minutes.
Let's start with 10.
10 minutes. 10. Okay. Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to extend?
Absolutely, and I demand
10?
A roll call vote.
Okay, we're going to a roll call vote. Okay, so this is on the motion to extend for 10. So yes means extend for 10, no means don't.
Information, Madam Chair, before the vote?
I'm sorry, what? I asked for objections, and I got one.
Madam Chair, what I'm saying is, like you said, in order to have a motion to continue this, you need, I mean, you can, if it's only one objection, it's hearing, you don't have the two thirds there. Is any objection? We need to know if we have enough objections, because if not, we are wasting time in a vote, in a roll call vote. How many objections we have? If we have enough, we can go to a roll call. But if not, doesn't make any sense. One objection doesn't make any.
Sure. The members are going to.
No, stop. We're going to a roll call vote. Thank you. Go ahead, Nancy.
Teresa Allen.
No.
Adriana Casanay.
Pass.
Casanay, pass. James Dingman.
Pass.
Dingman, pass. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes, extend.
Dixon Briggs, yes. Fred Dodsworth.
No, this is a huge waste of time.
Dodsworth, too.
Just a vote, please. No.
William Foster.
Pass.
Foster, pass. Sue Goodwin. Sue Goodwin. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Gray, yes. Donna Grimes.
No.
Grimes, no. Abelia Jones.
No.
Jones, no. Alexa.
No.
Alexa, no. Marianne Martinez.
No.
Martinez, no. James McFadden.
Yes.
McFadden, yes. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Pagano, no. Dawn Rhodes.
Yes.
Rhodes, yes. James Thagerton.
Yes.
Thagerton, yes. Sharon Salam.
Pass.
Salam, pass. Aki Tanaka.
No.
Tanaka, no. Elizabeth Van Gunten.
Yes.
Gunton, yes. Egberto Willis. Can't hear you. Okay. Good one. Adriana Casanay, have you passed?
Yes.
Casanay, yes. James Dingman, you passed.
Yes. Yes.
Newman, yes. William Foster, you passed.
Yes.
Foster, yes. A good one. Can't hear you.
He's muted.
So good one. Okay. Sharon Salam.
Yes.
Oops.
Sue Goodwin just showed up but then disappeared again.
Sue Goodwin can't
hear. Okay. Try again. Yes.
Goodwin, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sharon Salam. You passed.
Yes.
Salam, yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Egberto Willis. Mm-hmm. Can't hear you. No. Okay. 11, yes. 8, no. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll abstain.
Yes. 8, no, 1 abstention.
That doesn't sound like a 2/3 vote, does it?
Egberto votes no.
Definitely not 2/3 now. Yeah. 9/11.
All right. So we are not extending time because although the vote passed by a majority, it did not pass by a 2/3 majority. Okay, so where we are, Heather actually gave the affiliates report earlier, so we're at the ED report and Q&A, and this is a 20-minute item. Stephanie, go ahead.
Thank you. Let me pull up my report. Everybody was sent the ED report earlier today from myself and then also as sent out with the agenda. The consolidated financials for period ending the August 31 were also attached, and as stated in Julie's email to everybody, this has yet to be approved by the PMB or the reviewed by the NFC and sent out. So, but those are just there so the directors can see them as well. There's also a chart of our aged payables, not all aged payables, but even recent payables as of yesterday. We have attempting during this past couple of weeks making some payments and, you know, just to a lot of our vendors, albeit they may be small, but we are making some of those payments and getting caught up on a few things and also trying to negotiate the amount of money that is owed. So we can, and we've been having a lot of those discussions, both Markeisha and I, with some of our past due and our aged payables. The total payables that we have right now is $1,208,264. And then we also, of course, have our unpaid interest that is on the FJC loan and then also unpaid interest on the EIDL as well. Also on the list is a division of the bank balance as a by division, our bank balances as of yesterday, and then paid central services for fiscal year 2023, unpaid central services to the national office, and then also paid and unpaid to the archives. As of yesterday, we have through all of the divisions a bank balance of about $447,736. We have quite a bit as far as the, of course, unpaid central services, but we have had over the past fiscal year $294,478 that was paid in central services to the national office and roughly $62,716 that was paid in central services to the archives. We did receive notification just a couple of days ago from CPB that we were denied funding. I had a phone call with them as well. We can go into some of the details, with individuals as to why, but basically there are still quite a few requirements that were given to us in a letter that was outlined in 2013 from the CPB that was based upon they said that we need to provide audited records and proof of correction for the issues for each station that were detailed in the 2013 letter that they wrote to us that was in response to the Office of Inspector General audit report from 2012. And then in 2020, when they sent us another letter, there didn't appear to be that we had shown that we were meeting all of those requirements from 2013 to 2020. So I'm trying to dig through a lot of the old emails or any information that we may have on any sort of reporting that was submitted to them that was showing that we did have audited records of fulfillment of all of those requirements. So what they are asking of us to be considered for future funding, we need to make sure that all of those requirements that were listed in that 2013 letter to us were fulfilled from 2013 through 2020. And they want to be able to have documentation of those. And they also then want to make sure that that proof of fulfillment from the prior fiscal year and up to the date of the next year's application, that all of those are fulfilled as well. And they are also requesting that rather than just having our audited financial statements for the Pacifica Foundation in general, that we provide audited financial statements with unqualified opinions for each station, for this past fiscal year. So I'm going to have a conversation with our auditors to determine, because all of the stations are audited in general, but we just put everything together in one general audit report. But now we're going to need to get individual, pull out the information that they have and have one consolidated audited financial report for this past fiscal year, and then five individual audited financial reports for each of the stations. So I'll be having conversations with Markeisha, and I will be meeting with our auditors just to determine what that time may, if that will add any additional time and additional funding. And then each of them, we have the unqualified opinion that is on our regular audited financial statements, but we will need to get those opinions also for each of the stations. The consolidation of all the division's bank accounts is in process. Funds are being transferred and everything is to be transferred from those divisions by this Friday. So Markeisha is working quite closely with all of the stations getting that done. She and I will also be holding a series of mandatory Zoom training sessions of the check request procedures that we're going to implement moving forward. And we're going to give people multiple opportunities to attend that training, and the check request process will be implemented by December 1st. I'm still working on writing the governance handbook. It should be completed, I would say probably within the next week. And then that will be obviously submitted to the board to take a look at, but we want to get that rolled out for the PNBs, the LSBs, and the CABs prior to when everyone is seated. And one of the things that people had brought up earlier with budgets and such is that a simplified projected budget for fiscal year 24 for all of the divisions I did create that and was presented to the National Finance Committee. And that simplified budget for this current fiscal year was based upon the actuals from the past two fiscal years and then the current financials that we had to date and projections of what the finances were going to look like by the end of the current fiscal year. So we did submit, do have kind of a base approximation of what we can look at. And it included the central service payments as far as I changed some of the layout of the spreadsheet, because central services are just kind of plopped in a weird section on the current spreadsheet that we have. So I did add that as expenses for each of the divisions, and then also as a revenue line item for the archives and also the national office. So that simplified budget was shared and discussed with each of the divisions to take a look at, because there's still, you know, people did have some questions regarding the central service payments and, you know, the percentage that the NFC voted as far as that. So we do have kind of a base of a simplified budget to work on. Any questions?
I see Nancy, Beth,
oh, sorry,
and Sagerton. Oh, okay. So then I see Sagerton, then Teresa, then Fred. Go ahead, Sagerton.
That was a legacy hand, Chair, from the prior conversation.
Gotcha. Okay. Teresa, you're next. Then Fred.
That was a legacy hand also from the previous conversation.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
I would like to thank our executive director for doing her self-evaluation.
There you go.
I really
All right,
appreciate
awesome.
That.
Fred, you're up. Go ahead.
I just have a question. I'm looking at the panels and I'm trying to figure out, there's this thing called $67,070 for the WBAI call center. And I'm wondering why there isn't a similar, due amount or even item for the other four stations. Yeah, I would love to hear, more about that. I'm asking Stephanie.
Yeah, they're the only station that has a past due with the call center that they are using.
Are the other stations using call centers?
Not all of them are. Most of them have just sort of a backup if needed, but the calls are going to the stations.
And
they're dealing with
that?
The calls.
I mean, this is expensive. This is more than the tower. You know, this is ridiculously expensive.
We are in the process of working with them to try to port some of those numbers back to WBAI, but because there is money that is past due and the agreement that was signed with them a while ago when that call center was hired, that we can't quite do that right now. But we are working with them.
Thank you for your clarity.
Dingaman's next.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks, Stephanie, for the CPB report. We knew that we were throwing the dice with that one, but it looks like they gave you some clarity. And that letter that they referred to, I know the letter they referred to, they're talking about the IG letter, the different points that were made in that in 2013. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So that would have been a problem last year. I'm glad that we now have a better idea. Dave, what about the issue of the audits? Because that to me, we're behind in the audits and that's part of their process and the Nielsen ratings. They didn't bring that up in their comments to you?
Well, they didn't bring it up, but it's all part of kind of the process. I mean, there are specific, we're low on the numbers based upon the size of the communities that we serve. So it's wonderful that we're in big cities, but a lot of it is expected of us because we are in big cities. So we're not meeting that criteria for the application, but they're mostly concerned with the fact that we didn't follow through with what we stated we would do, I believe back in 2013. So I don't know what conversations or things that were given to them from 2013 to 2020. That's what I need to find. And what we didn't fill out, what we promised we would do, what we did from that, you know, from our promise and what we didn't do and what kind of backup that we have. So there were a lot of things, even in just the paperwork that I have found so far, when we were listing, you know, for example, that certain meetings or things were posted, there were a lot of comments on a letter that I saw or paperwork that we had turned into them. I think the date might have been 2015, 16, might have been, I don't quote me on that. We had things like, well, the, you know, our website wasn't working well, so we couldn't get a screenshot. Or yes, we posted it, but we have no proof that we posted it. So it was just very wishy-washy, with our attempts to fulfill that. And I think that showing them what we are doing or what we had done to fulfill that is going to be difficult, but we have to be to the point. You know, it's like, well, this didn't work, so we couldn't show it. Okay, well, that does, you know, then why didn't we fix it and be able to show it next time? So I don't know what we showed to them in 2014, 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, or 20. I have no idea. So that's what I need to try to figure out is what are they missing from those 7 years? Do we have proof of what we did during those 7 years? And can we make up what we, not make up meaning make it up, but can we make up to them everything that we didn't show to them during those 7 years and prove that we did take their suggestions seriously in 2012 and 2013.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, I'd be willing to help on that one. I don't want to volunteer Otis, but Otis might be useful to help on that too. And John, you know, that'd be, but it's important to solve these problems so we don't go again. We don't waste our time. Because this is an, as we all know, and now we're speaking only to people listening to us, this is an important source that we need to get back on track with. So yeah, I'd help you out with this. Thank you.
Correct. Yeah. No, I appreciate that because we do need a lot of historical knowledge, but not only just historical knowledge, but where, again, this is the importance of document retention, shared drives, and not just historical knowledge in our heads. But actually paperwork that we can pull. And you know, there's a lot of people prior to me and their positions that use their own, you know, personal email addresses for conversations and records and stored things on their own computers. And so it's those kind of things that, you know, we need to pull up. Our audits themselves are done. I know that there are some forms that are only available to people that receive funding that I'll have to get with the CPB to try to get access to some of their financial forms because I need to see how did we report the money that we were using. You know, we need to go back and self-audit all of those reports if any of them were even sent from 2013 through, you know, to 2020, because obviously we were missing something. Otherwise they, you know, we wouldn't have been cut off in 2020. And the letter in 2020 basically said we didn't fulfill what they had asked us to do in 2013. So yeah, they gave us 7 years to do that and we didn't. So now we need to go back and kind of make that, you know,
fulfill that,
kind of prove to them our fulfillment.
Great, Stephanie. And I, for the audience out here and us today, I saw that the GOP attached to one bill to knock out the National Endowment of the Arts. So they're back up to their tricks on Capitol Hill to attack the CPB, the NEH, and the NEA's got to be on top of this and vigorously work on this. So I'm glad you're on top of it, Stephanie. Good.
Thanks. Sharon, but you're after, hang on. You're after Adriana.
Okay.
No go problem. Ahead, Beth. Beth, if you're talking, you're muted.
I was muted. You're right. Thank you. Now I'm not muted, I think. Stephanie, 2 points. First, thank you so much for your work on a new Pacifica Governance Handbook. It's long overdue. I hope it'll make a major difference within Pacifica. I would like to invite you, please, to come to the next governance committee to present your draft of this new handbook for discussion. That would be Wednesday, November 22nd. It's always the fourth Wednesday of the month. At 5:30 Pacific time, I should say, West Coast time, our local time. And the other thing is that I know you already have the Development Task Force on your calendar for November 27th, as you always do. And thank you for that. And I'd like to agendize a discussion of the result you got from the CPB regarding funding, what that had long been an item we've followed for since as long as I've been with the task force. And so we'd really love to hear more detail about especially how you think we should proceed. You know, what would be the most productive next steps we can take on that? So I guess neither of those is a question other than the invitation. I hope you'll come. Please, would you come to the next governance committee meeting? Thank you.
Just put it in my calendar.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Adriana, you're up. Then Sharon. Go ahead, Adriana.
Thank you. Stephanie, first a clarification, because obviously the chair of the personal committee dispute that, but I sent to you too, I think, Article 9, Officer of the Foundation, Section 7, Executive Director, said in A, his or her performance will also be subject to annual evaluation by each LSB, which may make recommendations to the board. Just to clarify that, I was disputed publicly, but obviously I send it to everybody and nobody corrected, but that is our bylaws. After that, I have some questions about what you said. I can still see here that the net profit or loss at August 31st, 2023, consolidated financials that you sent. Again, the only station that is in the black with more than $166,000 is KPFT. All the others are on the red. We heard before that somebody criticized an imbalance or a budget that was presented from one of the stations, but the rest of the station, even the ones that didn't present your budget, I don't know, are you asking them to present the budget? Are you asking them to be in the red? Because I can see that some stations is more than $1 million in unpaid central services. With that $1,200,000, we can pay our audit that is a must. And we can keep all the problems that we are having, all the unpaid, just the station, the one that can. And we can see here that some of them really can do it. Is any way that we can ask those stations to pay the central service, knowing that it's so important, for example, finishing the audit on time? Are you insisting to this station? Is any reason that they are giving you why they are not paying and why they are not presented a budget to the finance committee? Why is that going on? How can we make them do it? Because it's an obligation that they have to present a budget.
Correct. And the simplified budget that I presented to the National Finance Committee for this upcoming fiscal year included people paying their central services. It was based upon the numbers that I saw, as I said, from the past 2 years and projected out for this current year. And that with that, the only stations that would be running in a deficit were KPFA, KPFK, WBAI, and WPFW. Still, that's quite a few. But a lot of that is just with central services. Without paying the central services, the only stations or the only divisions that were running in a deficit would be WPFW, the National Office, and the Archives. So one of the things that, we want to do with the consolidated of all the or all of the branches into one bank, separate bank accounts, is that we can then better monitor and send out bills for the central service payments. So we can help encourage those stations to, you know, we can project out, okay, it looks like you're not, you have these bills coming up, you have these bills coming up, we have check requests, and we can better monitor what's being paid and what's not being paid. There are not that we don't want to pay any of our vendors, but there are sometimes that there are some divisions that will pay certain vendors that maybe could have waited a little bit, and then we could have used some of the money towards central service payments or personnel costs. A lot of the expenses that most of the stations have are personnel-based. And again, we have tried to make changes or revisions or reductions. You know, that's, we, it, again, we have a lot of severance packages that are paid out, and so we don't see those reductions right away. And we don't often have the volunteers that are willing or able or consistent to work with some of those positions that, you know, are eliminated or cut into half time. The stations have all stepped up just this past week. They may not be paying central services, but when we have some outstanding bills, we had an outstanding bill that had to be paid by the 31st. And all of the stations that were able to stepped up and put money toward paying that bill. And that was KPFA, KPFT, WBAI, and WPFW. They all stepped up anywhere between $2,000 and $5,000. It was a $12,000 bill that needed to be paid by the 31st. And again, that would have been something that the national office would have easily just covered if we had money in there, but people just weren't able to pay those central services. But when it came down to it, we were able to get those stations to give us something. So if we can, you know, again, continue to increase the revenue and our listenership and, you know, be able to bring in underwriting and sponsorship dollars and build up on our sustainers, then we won't have as big of an issue getting people and the divisions to pay their central service payments.
Time, Madam Chair. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And we still have a stack, which is Sharon, Sagerton, and Dingaman, and Fred. Would anyone like to make a motion to extend?
Yeah, to Madam Chair, the stack I put my hand to, and I asked yes. For we have four people, including me, because it's something that I didn't receive the answer, but that's okay. I asked for what? 10 minutes, because between the four people that are there plus the answers,
there are 4 minutes,
10 minutes, 5 minutes.
There are five people. We could just make it be exhaust the stack.
Okay. Okay. Exhaust the stack. I move.
Is there a second?
Second, James.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Sharon, you're next.
My question is this. When you spoke to the people and they talked about the year 13, were you able to find any letters regarding that year that would say what it is they were looking for?
Yes. I have the letter from 2013. I have the letter from 2012 that prompted the letter from them from 2013. And I also have what we promised we said we would do. And then also the letter from 2020 that said we didn't do what we said we would do and you're no longer getting funding.
Okay.
So yes, I do. Thank you.
Sagerton, you're next.
Thank you, Chair. Stephanie, I was involved in trying to look into the CPB situation as well. And I'm aware of the 2013 letter, and others were hoping that the letter was not referencing all those years in between. So because we were getting music licensing up till 2020, although not getting the community service grants since like 2014 or whatever it was, they're actually requiring us, because we got music licensing, I guess, to provide the information for all those interim years, again, which, as you've pointed out, we may or may not have, which could amount to a permanent disqualification from CPB. Am I hearing that right? And I'm very much looking forward to reviewing the materials that you're getting. But is that what I heard you say? Is that correct?
Yes. They want to, yes, because what our documentation that was provided to them during those years didn't match what we stated we said we would do.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, boy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Dingman. Fred, your hand keeps going up and down, and I know you're on the stack, and I'll get to you. But Dingman, go ahead.
Yeah, look, you know, this is no surprise to any of us. I mean, you know, some of us were very much following all this, and it's going to take a lot of work to dig out that 2013 to 2020 issue. And go back and retrograde and go through it again. And frankly, it was due to the fact that a lot of people in power at that time let the ball drop. Let's be blunt about that. Okay. Because there are some people who had in their self-interest to not let us get the money from the CPB, and they allowed the whole thing to screw up. So that's what happened back then. Since I was involved as a chair of the CAB in New York, following this very intimately. And it has to be said. And the other issue about strategic reserves, this is where you get into this problem that we're caught here in a conundrum. Because the only time I've ever seen Pacifica have strategic reserves for money was back in 1991, when there was a similar fiscal problem, and whammo, 6 months of strategic reserves went out the door to handle that. And by the way, that was a problem that occurred in New York. So we're going to have a lot of work to do to get out of this situation. And again, the revenue generation issue is the most important thing, along with audience, that has to be focused on. And we're a broadcast institution. The board is fiscally, has the fiduciary responsibility. This is what always amazes me with some of the comments I get from our colleagues here when they want to get it back down to the local situations, which may or may not work out. We're ultimately the ones responsible for that when we serve the foundation, and it's on us to get this thing straightened out. So I'm glad that we're going to get this thing straightened out with the CPB. It can be done. It's not impossible.
Thanks. Adriana?
I believe that Fred was before me. I don't know if he wants to.
You're right. You were going to ask a follow-up question. Go ahead, Fred.
I just want to leave us with some really good news. In 11 days, our corporate counsel will be out in California, and he is convinced that we're going to get the $300,000 back that was seized from KPFA, which will actually allow KPFA to start actually contributing to the central fund, which we have elected to not do because we've lost that $350,000. So that's great news. And I'm really excited. I can't wait to see Arthur. I hope to take him out to lunch.
Go ahead, Adriana.
First of all, I heard some conflicting news because before I heard that they cannot use those $300,000, whatever, because they were not. You said before that couldn't be used, right? Now you will be happy if you receive it and you will pay central service. I don't understand. It's one
of
the
point of information.
Thank you. Thank you.
Adriana, direct your questions to Stephanie. Thanks.
Stephanie, the question, we passed, the PNB passed, approved the motion that all the stations need to comply, right? About the accounts and you having access to the account. Did every station did it Or can you tell us which ones didn't do it? Which one didn't finish that process? Why you are not seeing that? What's going on? Can you clarify that?
Comply. We have view only access to all of the station's accounts. Markeisha has definitely view only access. I have access to some. If I needed it, I call them and they give me the balance, or Markeisha looks it up. But with the moving of the banks into, or the accounts into multiple accounts at one bank, then that will allow us to be able to have view access, immediately. I mean, I look at KPFK, the archives and the affiliates, and the national office and payroll all on my phone. I mean, it's just that simple. So we'll be able to do that with all of the accounts, with all of the divisions. And then that way it'll allow us also to reconcile the bank statements every month. And we have been reaching out to a couple of the stations, when we get their bank statements and asking them to reconcile those for us and give us all the, all the receipts for a lot of the expenses. And the WBAI and WPFW, we've been doing that with them, and they've been giving us those receipts and justification for their expenses. So we'll be able to do that ourselves and relieve them of that work as we move forward. And as I said, the transfer of funds is happening. I think we had one branch or one division do it today. Everything else is being finished off by tomorrow.
See, tomorrow you will have everything. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dingaman, and then that's it.
Dingaman wasn't on the list. We moved to do extend the close.
Well, that's true. You're right. Thank you.
Let's move to the next item on the agenda.
Okay.
Adriana?
Yeah.
Didn't we have the timing? Didn't we have we vote a certain time to go to executive session at 11, and we are 16 minutes past that time. If we need to, we need to extend.
That is correct.
I move we adjourn.
But hang on, let me just let everybody know where we are on the agenda before we decide what we're doing. So Arthur's here, and I don't know, Arthur, if you had anything to say in open session about general counsel report. You're muted.
You're still muted.
Arthur's muted.
I was saying I have the same report here or in the executive. I would rather do it here because I have a hearing at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and it's 11:17.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on. I'll come back to you in a moment. Then we had folks three motions, that are, open session motions. Two of them are related. And it's to the KPFK LSB question that the ad hoc investigative committee looked into. And the other one is about underwriting.
I'd like to move to table those three motions.
I'd like to object.
So hang on. The thing about what you don't want to do is table them. What you want to do is postpone them. Table means
them, but whatever.
Yeah. And we would postpone them to the next meeting. And if in effect, if we move into, closed session, that is effectively what we would do because those would be items that are on the agenda that we didn't get to. So
Vice
basically.
Chair, just extend to hear Arthur? Just Arthur?
Yeah, we could do exactly that. Is there a second to extend time to hear Arthur's report?
I will second.
Thank you, Teresa. Are there any objections to the motion to extend the open portion of the meeting to hear Arthur's report? Hearing none.
Point of information.
Yes. Really? Go ahead, Dingaman.
Well, someone was at.
It was Ali. Go ahead, Ali.
Just to be clear, we're voting to extend to hear Arthur, and then immediately after we'll go into a closed session, correct?
Correct.
That's correct. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to extend to hear Arthur's report? Hearing no objections, that's what we'll do. Arthur, go ahead.
So, it's brief. So it's, as Fred said, he likes putting pressure on people. I will be in San Francisco the night of November. I arrive late the night of November 13th. I have an argument in the U.S. Court of Appeals. I think we're the fourth or fifth case on the calendar in the Verniel appeal over the defamation judgment that John Verniel got against us in arbitration. It's open to the public if anybody wants to come. It may be that they also live stream it from the Ninth Circuit. I know the Second Circuit, where I go to more often, does the live stream their arguments. And if Fred wants to take me to lunch, it should be an early one because I have to go visit a newborn niece that was born and lives in San Francisco before I get back to the airport.
Oh, maybe breakfast.
The only other thing I have to report is that you guys saw an exchange where the local council who moved me into practice to represent Pacifica in the Rideau case and who played a role in helping file papers withdrew because we hadn't paid them like $5,000, which I sort of was derisive of them since you guys owe me $175,000. It doesn't affect the litigation at all. Nothing is actually happening in that case. The next date on the calendar is April 2024, when we're supposed to meet and talk about whether the case is going to go to trial. Before then, I will file a motion to dismiss as moot after the new PNB is seated in January. No new lawsuits, thank God. That's all I have to report.
All right. A little bit of time for some questions. I see Dingeman and Fred's hands. Go ahead, Dingeman.
No, it's all right. I just wanted to clarify the underwriting motion that we're going to do that to next meeting, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Okay. Fred?
Yeah, I just heard Arthur say $175,000, and I'm looking at the balance sheet here. It says $165,000, and I'm wondering what the $10,000.
Because I didn't send my October 1 $5,000 bill and my November 1 $5,000 bill yet.
Good. There. Thank you.
I have a question, Chair.
Go ahead, Dingeman.
So how much have all these lawsuits mounted by all these different folks have cost us at this point in time, Arthur?
How many decades back do you want to go?
Let's put it, people, let's put the past 3 years, our compatriots, mainly California and around those ones.
Plus the
New York stuff too, please.
In paying our attorneys, you're talking about, right?
Talking about the whole shebang, the awards, all that fun stuff.
I'll do a calculation. I can't take it off the top of my head, but as it costs, not even including what I haven't been paid, did it cost $500,000 easy? The Turner case alone probably ran us. And that was withdrawn, right? So that case probably cost us over $250,000.
how much did the case that was mounted against Alex and Grace cost them?
Yeah, that's the case I'm talking about.
Okay.
It was Turner versus Grace and Turner versus Pacifica, Grace and Alex.
And Vernil has cost us around $350 to $375 if you put in legal fees.
But that's a WBAI thing.
No, it's not.
No, it's a Pacifica
thing. Thank you.
JP Frey, you there?
Yeah. Hang on. We're still maintaining order here. Go ahead, Arthur.
The lawsuit by Vernil against us, council fees, maybe $100, and then it was a judgment for $305, $315.
Can I get on the stack?
Go ahead, Teresa.
I'd say that the most expensive case was the Turner case, and the second was the New Day case, which is also still alive, but not scheduled to be in front of a judge till February.
My question is, do we have your itemized bills for this work?
Yes.
Okay, who has them? Who has it? Markeisha?
I mean, I used to send them to Nita, but there should be somewhere in there. Remember, I started in December 2019, a million years ago. So.
Okay. Well, can we get them? Can the board get them?
That's up to the ED and Markeisha.
I'd like to see them.
I mean, I get paid $5,000 a month for the first 20 hours. So a lot of my bills are $5,000. And then if I go over the 20, it goes above that. Which is a rate, by the way, of $250 an hour. I dare you to find another lawyer who's.
I'm just saying. I've asked about this before, and various other people have seen it, but I've never seen the bills for what cases you're working on, and therefore we come up with questions like, "Well, how much did this case cost us?" Blah blah blah. Like,
My bills are not the big bills. The big bills are from the biggest bills in Turner. I wasn't involved in that case. It was very early in my tenure. So there was two law firms, one representing, Alex and Grace, and one representing us who frankly ripped us off, in my opinion. That's an opinion. I don't want to get sued. Those are bills from outside law firms. And then, In the New Day litigation, the for purpose people billed a lot more than I did. One of the things I've learned to do over the years is tell outside law firms, once I'm admitted, I'll take care of it. You don't have to do it. I'm cheaper for Pacifica than you are. So the bills have decreased on outside litigation a lot since the last 18 months because I took on the work and charged Pacifica a lot less than the various law firms that we've had brought in.
Adriana?
Yes, thank you. Arthur, I want to piggyback at Jim's and Teresa's question, and I formally request all the itemizing.
That's not up to me. That's up to Stephanie and Markeisha.
I understand. I'm not asking you. Yeah, I know. What I will ask you, I will ask you that we are entitled as director to receive all of that. But, I'm not asking you to do it. But what I'm saying is Jim asked and you said that maybe you will give us that information. It's not an emergency, obviously, but at some point in time about the cost, like we say, in the last 3 years, you give us some numbers, but if you can give us some more definitive, numbers I know that you know.
I would have
like
to,
you said.
I would have to work with Marquesia to figure it out. Cause
some
of the law firms send a copy of their bill to me. Some don't. So I don't see them all.
Okay. Then we'll ask Stephanie and Marquesia. Okay. Thank you, Arthur.
All right. I don't see any more hands, with questions for Arthur. So, with that, we're moving into executive session, cause that's all that we extended the time for the open session for. And so I will, and it is, 10:29 PM. I'm sorry, 11:29 PM Eastern time as we move into closed session.